Gracious Father, we do thank you for your word, and we ask that your word might speak into our hearts today and this morning. Father, we thank you for Peter, and we thank you for Tim as the elders of our church, and we ask that you might continue to bless them in that role, and that you might be with Pete as he shares with us today. Father, give us open hearts and minds to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, good morning. Been a while since I've been up in the pulpit. I'm just going to read to you a passage, put the overhead up there if you can. I'm just going to read to you the 8 verses out of Romans 12, and then I'm just going to make some comments. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me that everyone who is among you, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of each other. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to faith, to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So I read this passage a few weeks ago, and knowing that the AGM was coming up, but it really stood out to me. A section of it, at least, was emphasised to me, how it related to an AGM. Something we always need to be reminded of, I think. We may reach a point where we think we're doing pretty well in an area and God will say, you know what, hang on, have a look. The church is an unusual organisation. Very unusual, I would say. As an incorporated body, we are required by the government to have members. And we do. But our membership is very different from the one the government requires. Our membership is first and foremost a membership of Christ's body, his family, his church. And I know that's much bigger than Bedford. Bedford is a small branch, if you like, to use another analogy, but it's part of the body of Christ, but this is a body. In organisations that have members, there is a corporate body, and there are members who are part of it. There are members in it. Well, I wonder if you picked up from our passage today something that makes the church very distinct, very unique. Verse 5, if we can go to the third slide, please. Verse 5 says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of each other. So we are members of each other. Can you hear that? What does it mean? How should that change the way we look at each other and treat each other? Are you as invested in your brothers and sisters here as you would be if you had a stake in their business? Each one of you had a business, and each one has got a stake, you've got a sharehold in that person's business. That's the sort of picture that's being given here. I think that's partly what Jesus meant when he said, by this all will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. And in another place he says, love one another as I have loved you. What a beautiful way to describe our new relationship with each other. We are members of each other. We're not to be a whole bunch of individuals seeking our own goals, taking our lead from the world around us. The picture we get from the world is so different. We're called to be other-focused, looking out for each other. Our lives, even our ministries, are not to be in competition with one another, but to be working together for a common goals, for His goals. What's the most urgent thing on the mind of our CEO? We have a CEO, in case you're not aware. I'm not the head of this church. Christ is the head of this church. He is our CEO, our chief executive officer. What's the thing foremost on his mind? What did Jesus pray as he left his disciples? As he's about to go through the biggest week of his life, biggest night of his life, biggest couple of days of his life. He says, I pray that they be one. Just as you, Father, and I are one. That they may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them. That they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That's an incredible passage. Don't you see the picture there from being part of a body and being part of each other? Jesus is saying exactly the same thing, that they would be one as I am in you, you are in me. Twice in this passage, Jesus says that they will know, that they will believe, that the world will know, that the world will believe. That's what will testify to the world around us of just how great our God is and just how great His love is. His bond of love between us. That's what he says twice in this passage. That the world will know. And how will they know? Because of the love these people have for each other. And we know that that love is definitely there between us, right? It's not like I'm saying it doesn't exist. It does exist. But if we're honest, we know it's not as it could be. Not as it should be. And also we know that it's not because anything in God is lacking. Not because God's love is lacking in any way. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can tell. It goes beyond the furthest star and goes to the deepest hell. That's love. Today, let's hear the instruction of God. He calls us again to love one another as He loves us. To love as He loves is the very high calling of a Christian, every Christian. To love as He loved us. And that is actually only possible by the work of His Holy Spirit. Paul says in one of his benedictions, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We need that communion work, don't we? That fellowship work. It's not talking about communion in the same way here. We're talking about the communion, the fellowship the fellowship that the Godhead have between themselves, and the fellowship that the Spirit allows us to have with God, the fellowship enables us to have between ourselves. That's something only He can do. And He can only do to Christians, to people that have given their heart and committed their lives and said, Lord, I'm going your way. Become part of His body. That's when the work of the Holy Spirit comes in, creates that communion between us. I'm just going to pray. Our Father, our Saviour, and our Counsellor, we thank you for your word today. And we ask for your help that we would increasingly love each other just as you have loved us. Amen.